Let us pray. May the peace of Christ rule in our hearts, that we would know how loved we are. And may the word of Christ dwell in us richly, that we would show that love to the world. Amen. Please be seated. Merry Christmas! Through the season of Advent, we waited, we prepared, our hearts stirred with a little anticipation and hope. Did you feel it? We were awaiting the birth of a baby, and tonight we are celebrating the arrival of God. God is here. Look around. I mean, really, really look around. Tonight, tomorrow, and all your days, look around. The Incarnation, Christ fully human and fully God, dwelling here amidst our messy, complicated lives, with no areas that are out of bounds. God who understands our humanity, God who is a part of it all, God who is here in everything. And isn't that a comfort? Our Messiah has arrived. Rejoice. So now what? I'm going to tell you a little story. A few years back, as part of my seminary training, I spent 11 months at the Royal Jubilee Hospital, completing the clinical pastoral education component of my Masters of Divinity. It was a rich and transformative time for me. They issued me a name tag and an ID badge that said Spiritual Care Student. They gave me some training in confidentiality and sensitivity. They slapped me on the back and they said, off you go. On most days, it was terrifying. On all days, God was present. Now, sometimes I would hesitate before walking into the hospital room of a patient when I knew this was most likely going to be my last visit. Room 426 was on a list of referrals that I had picked up from the hospital chaplain that morning when I arrived for my rounds at the hospital. Beside the room number on the slip of paper were four words: Family not here, terminal. There wasn't a name or any other clue that would alert me to the patient's character, as notes sometimes did. As a student chaplain, I didn't have access to the patient charts, so often the chaplain would leave me little bits of context beside the names on the pieces of paper. Clues like missing her young children who are at home in Ucullet. Or, nice man, very talkative, no diagnosis as of yet, hope wavering. Or, waiting for the okay to be released, impatient and excited. But the four words written on the paper after the words room 426 made me hesitate. I entered the room with the usual smile and greeting. Hi, I'm Anita from Spiritual Care. I'm here to let people know that there's spiritual care at the Royal Jubilee Hospital. I'm here to listen, to chat, to pray with you if you wish. I waited and caught his eye before I asked the next question. How's your spirit today? He was quiet and looked at me as I remained in the doorway to his room. Now, one thing I learned during my clinical pastoral education year is that if you linger in the doorway of a hospital room for just the right amount of seconds, just a few seconds longer than is comfortable, you'll either be politely dismissed or invited to sit down. And he invited me in. How's my spirit? I'm afraid. I'm heading into surgery soon. I don't know when, though. They're coming to get me any time now. My daughter isn't here, and so I'm waiting alone. I see. Would you like me to wait with you? I asked him. He looked a little self-conscious and then said very tentatively, you can stay for a little while. Now, in these situations, I rely 100% on God, whom I pray has been waiting in the hospital room long before I even arrived at the hospital. What words can one say in a situation like this? Not much, except to be present and to listen. Listen and wait for God to be revealed. Now, tonight is Christmas, and God has been revealed to us in the form of a child of poverty, laying in a food trough for domesticated animals, sought by wise men, announced by angels, sent by God, and born of a courageous and blessed young and marginalized girl who has found favor with God. Where yesterday we were awaiting the birth of a baby, today we are basking in the arrival of our Messiah, fully human and fully God, dwelling with us, walking with us in this messy, joyful, painful life that we journey. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth lying in a manger. The man lying in his hospital bed told me his name, but for the sake of this story, we'll call him Walter. He knew he was ending the end of his life. He told me that at 90-something years of age, he was grateful for his life, and he knew he was ready to meet God and see his beloved wife again. He loved her so much, and she had died of cancer quite a few years before, but he said he never quite adjusted to living without her. They were together a lifetime, and they both agreed that those years contained a few lifetimes. They both loved God and were faithful Christians. But in these last years without his wife, Walter had slipped away from the church. He said it reminded him too much of her. When I had come into his room, he had been reflecting on the events of his life. He said, here I am at the end of my life and I'm thinking about the beginning. Now those words really struck me. I think about those words at Christmas and this Christmas. We as Easter people are grafted to Christ in his death and resurrection, are also very vividly among the living. And so this arrival of this newborn Christ child takes us back to the beginning. It locates Christ alongside us in this messy world of humanity. And it reminds us of something that our soul craves to know as we journey. Besides the fact that we have a beginning of our story and that we have an end of our story, but I think that we crave to know that we are not alone. For whatever reason, Walter was in the hospital room alone by himself. I wanted to ask him about children or family, but I knew better than to ask that now. He started sharing stories of his early life, growing up on the farm in Manitoba, the death of his parents, being separated from his younger brother, going to live with his aunt and uncle, and how he felt like an unwelcomed burden. He struggled to get all the years and the months and the details right, not for me, I could sense, but for his recounting of his own history in accurate order. He told me about flying planes in the Air Force, and then he looked at me, his eyes were super excited, and I knew he was about to tell me something really significant, and it was. Quite by random, while serving abroad, friends commented on his unusual last name. They told him about another man that they knew, serving not far from where they were, and he had the same last name, and he looked a lot like him. It was his brother. He hadn't seen them since they were separated as children. When they met face to face, they recognized each other instantly. I could see on Walter's face that this life surprise delighted him to this day, near the end, in his hospital bed. I agreed that this was a remarkable coincidence, and he said, "Oh no, this wasn't a coincidence. This was God." I had always prayed for my brother, and even though we were apart, I knew God kept good tabs on both of us. He said it so matter-of-factly. "God was with me the day I met my beautiful bride, too," he said, and I asked him to tell me about her. "She was wonderful, and we had a wonderful life together, until she died. We had a daughter, too. We moved out to Vancouver in those days. We didn't have a lot of money back then. I worked for the telephone company, and I was glad to have that job. I really liked the people that I worked with. I think it's a real blessing to enjoy the people that you work with, don't you think?" I agreed. Walter told me more stories about his life, and with each story, I could sense that he was feeling more at ease somehow. There was a peace that permeated the room. It was as if remembering something important as he pieced together the life of his events, from his birth to this bed on a gray and rainy spring day in a Victoria hospital. At Easter, we celebrate that through his death on the cross, Jesus takes us with him into new life, breaking the bondage of sin and death and resurrecting us with him into God's kingdom of eternal life. But at Christmas, we rejoice in the beginning. I am grateful for Walter's instinct to recall the beginning of his own story, because we need the Christmas story as much as we need the Easter story. We pilgrim as Easter people, our lives intertwined with the promise of new life in Christ through our baptism. But we need to know that we are Christmas people as well. God joins all of humanity in the painful, sensual emotions and flesh amidst all of our suffering and all of our joys. God uses us to accompany each other and care for each other and witness God-revealed moments as they appear all around us. God knows us so well because God meets us so well, here on heaven as in earth, and does not abandon us in life nor in death. We are met in the manger. We are met in our baptismal waters, and we are met in the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the wine, in the hearing of the scriptures, and in the love that we share as we are present for one another. There we meet God, full of grace and truth. The attendants arrived finally at room 426 to take Walter to the OR. I asked him if he'd like to pray, and he nodded and said, "Yes, please." We prayed petitions of encouragement, strength, gratitude, peace, and accompaniment, and ended with the comforting and familiar words of the Lord's Prayer. He took my hand and said, "Thank you." He asked me if I wouldn't mind walking with him. And I was honored and blessed by God to be asked. I held his hand as the attendants wheeled him to the doors of the operating room. He was ready because he had remembered. God had been with him the whole life long, and it made no sense that God would suddenly abandon him now. He was ready. It was a moment where I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that God was and is here with us today. A blessed Christmas to you. Rejoice. The word of God that spoke creation into being, that spoke the holy covenant to God's people, that gave voice and vision to God's prophets, the same word has been born this holy night, living among humanity, full of grace and truth. And isn't that glorious? So I just have to say, Merry Christmas to you, whom God loves so well. Amen.